And we're on chapter 10, verse 20. Chapter 10, verse 20. January 20th. Right. Again, we're going back to the idea of tongue. What we say, the words we use, reveal our hearts. And in verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little. That's just a comparison, isn't it? But what is valuable? Is good speech valuable? Yes, it's choice silver. And the heart of the wicked is worth little. The words that come out of their mouth are in a comparison sort of view. It's worth little but compared to silver. And be careful what we say. 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. What's that? The lips of the righteous feed many. Fools die for lack of understanding. Feed and die. Lips, righteous. The words of righteous, how do they feed many? How can you feed many? Feeding is the idea of nourishing, isn't it?
Nourishing, okay? Wisdom.
Supplying what one needs in life. I guess you could say that. All right?
Like verse 11 is a fountain of life.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's nourishing there just as well, fresh water. Things that we need. And let's see, where am I at? Yeah, but fools die for lack of understanding. Understanding, I think other versions have heart there, that sort of thing. So the idea is that this die, feed many, nourishing, they're not nourished. Fools don't nourish because they don't have the understanding, to help many. Okay?
This version says wisdom.
Okay. Lack of wisdom. 22, it is a blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord, L-O-R-D, makes rich. But he, I think that he is the Lord, there adds no sorrow or trouble to it. From the Lord, you can get blessings. You can become wealthy, rich, okay, in whatever aspect it is. But in that blessing, if there's trouble comes from it, it is not because of the Lord. It's a blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow or trouble to it. Okay? Interesting.
Do you think it's a blessing of the Lord because the righteous lips are speaking wisdom and, feeding many and, the Lord doesn't make rich those who die for lack of understanding? You think that's what it's talking about?
I think it's separate from that. One deal with nourishment and that sort of thing. Here's, we're on a different idea here, I think. Rich in character, rich in wealth, whatever it is, and if you have that, because God gave you that blessing, he's not going to add sorrow or trouble to it. The sorrow or trouble comes from it. If you've got wealth or blessings or whatever, it's because you sinned somewhere or you did something wrong, and that trouble comes from that, your actions. I think that's the idea, that only good can come from God. That's, I guess, the point. 23. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. Man, oh man. Wickedness like sport to a fool. That's, what's the point there, sports fans? All right? What does a winning team do, not a losing team, like this last weekend? Okay? Oh, man.
No comment.
If they had a negative score, they'd got it.
Yeah.
All right?
Your team.
Yeah, I know.
Not anymore.
Anyway, doing is like sport to a fool. A fool gets pleasure and delight, don't they? It's sport to them. And so is wisdom to a man of understanding. But that wisdom to a man of understanding gives pleasure and delight in a different way, doesn't it? Okay? Some people just delight in doing things wrong, doing things that hurt others, doing things evil, doing things that are wicked. Okay?
Some people would rather lie than tell a truth when the truth is to their advantage.
Yeah, interesting.
And I've never been able to figure that one out.
Yeah. Guess you almost have to be a fool sometimes to understand a fool, huh? What the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. What the wicked fears will come upon him. What do wicked fear?
Being found out.
Being whatever things that they that dread or whatever it is they want to put on other people, that's almost going to come to me. All right? Like you wish it on each other. But the desire of the righteous will be granted. The desire of the righteous is good expectations, isn't it? He wants those things to come out right, whether it's in family or whatever it is. The desire of the righteous will be granted. Granted is an interesting word. I don't know if another version of the word there, but granted is the idea of given, freely given. 25, when the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Whirlwind and foundation, there are 2 points. Whirlwind, what's it do when it comes by? It blows things away, doesn't it? And the wicked will be no more. It's kind of like a storm, I guess. Storm comes through and just blow the wicked away. But what will stop a house or whatever from being blown away? A good foundation on it. All right? Righteous has an everlasting foundation, kind of like building a house on sand or not building on sand. I've never done number 26. I was thinking about it. I said, well, I don't know if I want to do 26 or not. Okay? The vinegar, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a lazy one to those who send him.
Mm. Nasty.
Smoking eyes burns.
It's a painful irritation.
It burns.
I know that, but I've never done. Okay, vinegar. I'm tempted, though.
You go right ahead and tell us how it is.
Okay.
Not that bad.
Is that kind of like if you get the mix off on a salad dressing? I guess you could do that, huh?
Vinegar to help me get rid of a cold.
Pickle juice.
Vinegar. Pickle juice.
Okay, we've got that set up now. This painful irritation or whatever it is. So is the lazy one to those who send him or her. Okay? So someone sent their messenger or they represent you. So can sending a lazy person to represent you be like vinegar in the teeth and smoke in the eyes?
Yes.
It surely can it? Okay? Yeah. So you really, I guess this is maybe I don't know if it's business or whatever it is, but the idea of someone represents you, be careful who you send to represent you, who's your apostle, okay? Or your messenger.
Or even just to do a job.
Yeah.
Give your child or give someone here at the church a job to do. And if they don't do it, if they're lazy and everything, it can be very irritating. Well, and the job doesn't get done.
And the next point presupposes if you know they're lazy, why in the world would you have them as a messenger or represent you? See, that's something you need to find out.
You wouldn't do it again.
Well, these kinfolk, I got to do it, you know.
But you know, lazy in Proverbs, as we've seen, mm-hmm. in the sluggard, is not actually a person who does nothing. It's just that they don't do the right thing
at the right time.
Or they don't fulfill what they're given to do. It just, you know, or like a messenger here has to deliver a message on time for something. He just didn't quite get there on time. Be there by, you know, an hour. Well, it's 6-8 hours. I'll make it still the same day. You know, who knows, okay? UPS couldn't work that way. The mail can, because they're union, I can do what they want to do.
Yeah.
All right. It'll be good Saturday pretty soon, so that's the way that works. Okay, 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. General statement. We've kind of talked about this, the idea before. That you're in a content life, a secure life, one where you more or less is a predictable life, whatever it is, safe, and you'll generally live longer. Okay? Years of the wicked because of their violent situations or they're making enemies or whatever it is. Okay, just the anxieties of life and knowing, you know, that you have told truth to people or whatever it is. Okay, trying to hustle the next buck, you know, that's hard on your nerves. So who knows? So the idea there prolongs life and life will be shortened. 28. The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. There's a hope and an expectation. Is not a happy life and a good life I've just been talking about? Isn't that not the hope of the righteous? Okay?
But those don't have to be the same thing.
No.
A good life, not a contented life, doesn't, you're not laughing all the time. That's not that kind of happy.
That's right.
But the New Testament talks about the blessed, spiritually prosperous. You can be content, and you can be penniless. You can be...
That's right.
Have all kinds of things, but you can still be spiritually prosperous.
And it doesn't depend a bit on wealth.
Right.
Okay? Or material things. But the expectation of the wicked perishes. What do the wicked expect in life? Whatever it is, it's not going to be there in the final end, is it? Okay?
In the final end.
Yeah.
You know, the rich man of Luke 16, it said that he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. He didn't know problems and trouble. And he didn't, you know, he was not a righteous person, or he would not have been in torment. So, you know, it's not that frustration and shortened life and problems, they did not plague that man. He lived a good life.
Yes.
But, you know, but he was not righteous.
But he was expecting, you know, what he was expecting, and finally, in the end...
It was the end result.
That's right. You know, that's right.
It was not that he suffered anything during his life at all. And, you know, we know evil people who do not get their comeuppance in this life. They live a good life. And
what's interesting to see great people, I guess great quotations, and guess what? They're suffering with cancer. Right. I mean, and all the doctors and the money and Mayo Clinic and everything else can't save them. Interesting.
But okay. Good people do too.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay. And 29. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. Kind of the same point, isn't it? Okay? Stronghold the upright. Strong and ruin. Stronghold and ruin. The way of the Lord, living for the Lord, to the righteous or upright, as a stronghold. In a stronghold, you can rely on the walls about you. You can rely on the security of it. There's a strength involved. And that's for the upright, but for the ruin to the workers of iniquity. There's another way in life, and these workers of iniquity, okay, is ruin to them in the final end. That they're not in security. What they think protects them is actually weak. Okay, just a general statement. All right?
Yeah. In the way of the Lord, I mean, it proves them wrong. That's what Paul did, you know, and all the preaching and the apostles and everything. Jesus, you know, told the Pharisees exactly, you know, what kind of person they were. And the way of the Lord. People do not want to look at themselves in light of what is right. They don't want to see that. And so it will bring them ruin. But the way of the Lord, I mean, they don't want to know that. Because, you know, the first chapter talks about that. Mm-hmm. They don't want to know it.
And in this one, we've got active workers, not just thinking iniquity, but workers of iniquity, where they're leading others to it or do it themselves. And their ruin is not what not their expectation, is it? Okay. 30, the righteous will never be shaken, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. That's an interesting one there. That the righteous will never be shaken, or they'll never be removed. But the wicked will not dwell in the land. I guess if you want to say that's, and looking at this and trying to get, some of these are hard. Is it dealing with the idea of the Israelites in the land and that kind of thing? It may be. It may be that the wicked will not dwell in the land eternally. Just like we were dealing up here in the wicked parishes. Okay? It may have an eternal tone to it of heaven. Like the righteous will never be shaken or removed from what? Their reward. But the wicked will not dwell in the land or dwell in heaven. or be denied their reward. So, the idea is in the end, okay, the righteous will stay, if they stay on the right track, they'll never be denied, you know, their reward, never be shaken, or that won't be removed from them. But the wicked will not make it. They'll perish. They'll be in ruin, like 29. That little group there probably goes together. 31. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. Cut out. All right. We know the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. If it flows with wisdom, what's it doing for other people?
Teaching.
Benefits them, right? And, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. There's a couple of points on that. If it's cut out, that may be a little gruesome, okay? If you know what I mean. And definitely you'll be silenced then, won't you? And that may have that, I don't know. But it also may be that, use the word cut off, perverted tongue will be cut off. Cut off from, as in not listened to. You won't listen to them anymore. So if righteous words are flowing and their wisdom words, you're going to be listening. But a perverted tongue, you can choose not to listen to those. Okay? It'll be cut off for some reason. That's just what I'm doing 31. And 32, the lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted. Same idea. Bring forth flows from just like 31. They'll bring what is acceptable. Now, that's interesting. Something, if those words are acceptable, and we're talking about everyday life, they're acceptable for living everyday life. The mouth of the wicked is perverted. And one's a good life, and one's perverted life, distorted life. But the point is, the lips and the mouth are both involved. And what's acceptable to God, what's perverted or distorted. Let's see. Any thoughts about those? And that was chapter 10. And be looking at that 10 when we get to our questions. And say, well, we'll like we did last time, what's a verse or two inside of that that means something to you or something you like to talk about? Okay. Chapter 11. We're going to contrast again the upright and the wicked. And this one starts off with something I think we can all get a handle on. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. And in the days when you had to weigh out things, whatever it is, whether it was seeds that were used as a currency, you know, or whatever, some precious metal, whatever it is, you had kind of like one set of weights for selling and one for buying, right?
New King James says dishonest scales.
Okay, and that's exactly right. They're dishonest scales. And just like but yeah, honest weights are His delight. So that just tells you about honesty in business and that sort of thing. All right? And what is really... And if you got a false balance... or dishonest skill, what are you doing to the other person?
Cheating,
aren't you? You're lying, aren't you? We've already seen it. Lying is an abomination to God, okay, to the Lord. So that's in effect, that's what you're doing, okay? Defrauding, whatever it is.
Taking advantage of other people.
Oh, yes. Selfishness to the nth degree, isn't it? Okay? And why can't you be honest in business? Just as it's purely this way, why can't you be that way? I mean, no one's going to deny you profit. Now, sometimes we try to get the cheapest price we can for something to negotiate, but listen, they got kids in a family too, don't they?
Yep.
All right? Or grandparents or whatever it is, themselves. So they're still a profit you can buy.
And you know, this can trickle down to some of the simplest things. I can remember when my children were little and they were dividing a candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
And just... To teach them that you give equal parts, you know, that you don't take a bite, and, you know, and cheat, that you're being fair, you know, with things. And so it starts with just little things with children, you know. And I know I've heard Jamie and Amy talk about John Michael and Lily, you know, and talking about sharing and dividing things and everything, you know. It can start with just that little simple thing, but when they grow up, you know, if you had started back with just those simple kinds of things, they grow up being selfish and obsessive and, you know, and only things of what is good for me and not care about the fairness to someone else or the honesty to someone else.
What's a classic way for two people to divide a candy bar?
One cuts it, and the other one gets the first choice.
Yeah, that's right. Right? That'll make you think about eating it, right? See? That makes it better. All right?
That's harder to do when it's three pieces, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Get the Hershey bar that's divided.
Then it comes back to what I've heard Leslie teach the little kids. You get what you get, and you don't pitch a fit.
That's right.
I heard her say that, and my kids have heard it 1,000 times since then.
Uh-huh. Well, I get to divide it next time. Okay. Number two. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. But the humble is wisdom. When pride comes, when vanity comes, when conceit comes, then comes dishonor. In other words, if you let it get to such a thing that overwhelms you, it's really a disgrace to you. And who's this disgrace come from? Who sees pride, then comes dishonor? Does it come from others, maybe? Okay. But with the humble is wisdom. People can see your non-selfishness. They can see that you're being as humble as you can. And it's just wise to be humble. And when pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. Three, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. Honesty guides us. Integrity of good people will guide them in good ways, won't it? But the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. So I think that's pretty plain, isn't it? Okay? In other words, there's a reward at the end of that. We saw it a while ago. All right. Four, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. When wrath comes, what's the profit of having riches?
Nothing.
That's right.
Money's okay. Not gonna buy
you can't take it with you, can you? All right. So the accumulation of those of an end itself, it's not going to guarantee anything, is it?
Just like you said earlier, about cancer.
But righteousness now delivers from death. Death is death. It's going to be Saul, isn't it? Okay? But how is it going to deliver us? Let's just say we're talking about riches, aren't we? So the righteousness, if you use your riches righteously, or rightly, will that deliver you from wrath? Death?
Not from death. But it might save you
God's saying here, if you got riches, you know, use them wisely. It'll help you from days of wrath or whatever, okay? And there'll be a reward for you, isn't it? Okay?
Couldn't this be the physical riches versus the spiritual righteousness?
It could be. A lot of these things have multiple meanings. I tend to think it may be. Because any verses around, I don't see that any other riches coming in. Okay.
Because the only delivery from death, I mean, physical death, like you said, means all people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the deliverance from that would be the life eternal. That Those who focused on riches won't profit from that eternal life.
Especially says not wrath, but day of wrath. Yes, that may teach us an internal piece on it. Okay?
It also, it you cannot buy, it, just like in the Old Testament and in the, it's like in Hosea and in some of the prophets, God said that your riches will not pay for redemption. You cannot redeem yourself. You can't even buy your brother back. We've already seen that in one of the passages here. You can't redeem your brother with money. Money is not going to buy God's grace and forgiveness and redemption. Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy 6. You can't, riches are not going to prosper a person spiritually. In fact, he's even talking about the love of money, you know, will get you your downfall. And he said, even instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. You know, the treasure of a good foundation for the future, you know, of life indeed. Mm-hmm. Not riches of this life, but life everlasting. Money can't buy that.
And I think that's probably what that is the idea of riches.
Yeah.
Okay. Because everyone throughout time has had a problem with riches, haven't they? Gold and silver, precious jewels, possessions. Okay. And so it's been a status symbol, hadn't it? It's a measure of power. Okay. 5, the righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way, but the wicked will fall in his own wickedness. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way. Directs the way, makes it smoother, keeps it that way. A safe way, smooth way. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. You're responsible, aren't you? Your own wickedness. Okay? There'll be a fall. There'll be an end game for it. The wicked will fall by their own wickedness. Okay? In other words, they'll get their just dues, won't they? A lot of this is the idea of what goes around comes around, or you can't dismiss things in life because it's going to come back. It's not going away. Okay? So whether your right actions or wicked actions. 6, the righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the treacherous will be caught by their own greed. Same idea. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the treacherous will be trapped or caught by their own greed. If you have a treacherous person and they're defrauding people or they're lying to people, will it catch them? One day it will, won't it? Okay? And this liver and that sort of thing, the idea of snares and things. So we're saying the same thing, that they're really making their own bed, aren't they? They're making their own trap for themselves, the treacherous will. And their own greed. Greed may be back to, again, ultimate selfishness. It may have funds or riches aspect of that too. All right? 7. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the strong men perishes. When a wicked dies, same thing we saw a while ago, his expectation of what? His hopes, his dreams, the great wealth, whatever it is, is going to die with him. But the hope of the strong man perishes. You may have another word to say strong there. I think unjust, maybe, and things like
unjust,
that.
Yeah.
Okay. And, in other words, there's no legacy, is there? You want things to go on. And just remember that what is the legacy of a brutal, brutal person or a wicked person? Families talk about a grandfather that was, met the electric chair, okay? Or was a mass murderer, or one caught for put in jail for many years for fraud and abuse of other people, do you? There's no legacy there, is there? Okay. And that's the idea of thinking about that. 8, the righteous is delivered from trouble, but the wicked takes his place. You got the righteous people, and they're delivered or rescued from trouble. Okay. They're rescued from the reward, or the bad reward that's going to come because they're that way. Okay? If some trouble's going to come to them. But the wicked takes their place. See, now, there was a place there of to be troubled, to be hurt, to be rescued from. And the wicked take their place. Why do they take their place? Because they're wicked. Okay? They take their seat on the bus. Okay? The trouble bus, all right? They get the seat. So it's just...
caught in their own trap.
Yeah, I guess so. That's right. That's right.
Like Haman and his own gallows.
That's what I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Down in verse 27 again, trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Amen.
Number 9. With his mouth, M-O-U-T-H, the godless man destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Now, talking neighbor. Okay, that's a little, that's called community, tell outside of ourselves. It can affect another person. Okay, a lot of these things affect the person, but here we're getting a little direct. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Destroy your neighbor. Slander. Lies. You miss. Sometimes godless man has the word hypocrite there. Alright? Maybe some violence involved, I don't know. But you can destroy your neighbor with slander and that sort of thing. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. How can that knowledge there, I was looking at that, and let's call it investigation. So if a godless man is saying slanderous things about a neighbor, how are you delivered from also slandering them? Or talking ill of them? By investigating. That's the word knowledge. But through knowledge, you investigate that person. Okay? So it's some prudence, some diligence involved in there. Okay? If you hear something that could be a slanderous thing about another person, okay?
That's discretion as well.
Discretion, that's right. All right? So we're encouraged here to investigate through knowledge. All right.
Also,
especially if you know they're that way.
Yeah.
They proved it in the past they're that way. Why in the world are you going to listen to them now just without even questioning them? Mm-hmm. Okay? Go ahead.
In Israel, when God was going to destroy them, God indicted the elders and the priests and the leaders because they were godless and they didn't teach the people right. And he said, for the sake of lack of knowledge, my people despair. But when the knowledge came, you know, of his redemption, of him bringing them back, and they repented, you know. Then, you know, it will, the righteous who learn the knowledge. There are times when ungodliness can cause, you know, even trouble for the righteous and everything. But through knowledge of righteousness in God, we can be delivered from that.
And that's interesting because here we talk neighbor. The next two verses deal with another scope. And the word city's used, isn't it? Okay? And when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. Those two modify each other, don't they? Mm-hmm. All right? And you can see in wicked times, someone's always fighting with someone or causing whatever it is, okay? Wickedness.
And righteous people living in a place can save it also. Abraham, God would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous people. Couldn't even find that many.
Yeah, that's right. And number 11 follows the same idea. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. You got to be careful of leaders. Do good people in a city generally make a good city?
Not necessarily.
Generally.
Well, Lot didn't help Solomon and Gomorrah get better.
Right.
More than one.
You made a majority.
I'm talking about majority, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, a majority.
Yeah, movie. Yeah. All right. And that's a classic thing when you hear small towns. What's the idea about small towns?
Oh, they're good people.
Okay. Because you know your neighbor, don't you? Yeah. You may know too much. Okay. Okay. But you know your neighbors. Because you've gone through them all your life. I grew up in a town like that. Okay? And we knew everybody. All right? I mean, in the high school, you know, all four grades, you knew where everybody lived. He knew it all. Okay.
It was good, sort of.
Yeah. All right. So the upright, the righteous have an effect on the city, don't they? Okay. And what's interesting in the last part, 11, but the mouth of the wicked is torn down. So that mouth is involved again, isn't it? Leaders, people who talk, people who disrupt, cause strife. Okay, all those things. All right? And, 12. He who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent. Whoa. All right. He who despises his neighbor, one who doesn't like him at all, one who belittles him, one who thinks not much of his neighbor, lacks sense. But a man of understanding keeps silent. So, if you're dealing with your neighbor, and how does this man of understanding, why does he keep silent? Does he want to help this one who despises him?
He's just not going to get into it.
Yeah, let's call him a quarrelsome guy. He's always quarreling to come up. What do you do? I'm going to keep silent. I mean, all I'm going to do is sit and quarrel with him. We're going to quarrel back and forth like we always do. What's the good of that?
The only thing that's going to do is like make things worse. I've noticed in situations like that. So if you just, you know, let him yell at you or whatever.
And who's really losing the character point here?
The one losing his temper.
Yeah, he wants you to lose your temper.
It's hard to argue with somebody who won't argue back with you, too.
Yeah, you're teaching a lesson, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Okay. So... that silent there is not, it's silent to a degree after you've already, you know, if someone's, you know, you're able to correct someone and help them and, you know, and that sort of thing, but it just keeps on and on, just, you know, just keep silent, all right? Why quarrel with them?
It's like verse 12 in chapter 10, it says in 11, the mouth of the wicked conceals violence, hatred stirs up strife. You know,
oh yeah.
About that. So you know, I mean,
the context there is strife is violence. Yeah.
Well, and the despising his neighbor could be with the wicked who hates. You know, and what he does with his mouth.
So neighbor, city, all that sort of thing in there. Now, 13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. So, talebearer, or their idea of revealed secrets and trustworthy go together there, sort of. It's contrasting. So, if you're a talebearer, you reveal secrets. Trustworthy is the idea of concealing. Someone gives you a confidence, right? We'll call it a secret, but it's a confidence in them. You and I, you know, you're my best friend. Do you, what? Do you tell others? Do you reveal secrets? Does it help anything? Okay? Especially if you've already said, I'm not going to reveal that. Trustworthiness comes into that. So, in confidences. All right? And be aware of that. Somehow, you've got to take someone tell you something, they say, this is it. You've got to jam it in your mind and say, listen, this is, you know, this is a long memory item. This is something I just can't. I've got to put a good marker in my brain cells on this that I can't repeat this to anyone. Right? At that moment in time, you have to do that, and somehow it just kind of comes out or something. All right? I've had that, and you regret that later on. But, oh, yeah, it sure was. All right? Is that just a side of what happens sometimes? All right? What happens when you're not trustworthy anymore?
Nobody tells you.
It's hard to climb that ladder again, isn't it? Again. Okay? It's hard. Get used to it.
You know, Doug, I think about elders and elders' wives with this verse.
Yes, yes.
Because women will or need someone to go to, and the elders' wives should have that characteristic that unless they feel the matter needs to be addressed to the elders.
Yes.
It would be that they would consider.
Yeah, I don't, a lot of people don't consider, I consider it an honor if somebody...
Oh, yeah.
Comes to me with something, and they think enough of me that they want to tell me something.
It tells you they're aware of your character, aren't they? From your past actions.
And so it's such an honor that I would never dream to hurt that or mess it up.
And those kind of secrets sometimes help you to understand one another, don't they? Better. Okay, the situations you're in or whatever it is. Okay. 14, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. This is that big picture again, isn't it? Maybe a city prediction or whatever it is. No guidance, no wisdom guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Counselors that express wisdom. And that deals with leadership that's is honest, that's fair, that's humble. Okay? What is it people have always said? If you have a people who guide you, if you had a benevolent dictator, everything would be really good. Okay? It doesn't work that way. Alright. 15. Seeing this one. He who is a guarantor for a stranger will surely suffer for it. But he who hates being a guarantor is secure. And the key word here is guarantor for a stranger. Alright? Why would you subject yourself under the authority of Olam, okay, a stranger? See? Okay? He who hates being a guarantor is secure. Who hates being a guarantor to a stranger is secure. And I think we've done that. That's a good point. A 16, a gracious woman attains honor, but a ruthless man attains riches. Whoa, women and men in the same verse. That's interesting. Okay. So what about a gracious or kind woman attains honor, respect? But a ruthless, go ahead.
Same thing, the respect. Women are, when you have a gracious woman, she's respected.
Mm-hmm.
But then out in the business world, if that man is ruthless, he's also respected because he's ruthless. And look at everything he did to get himself to the top. And he climbed all these ladders and he did all this kind of stuff. And at the same time, it could also be a bad thing depending on who's looking at that ruthless man.
It may be maybe just a point to of order how people are. In other words, if you got a gracious, kind woman, she's respected.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a guy who's cruel and ruthless, and he gets riches. He attains riches.
But man is in
our palace. But he's not respected. So you got respect, non-respect. See, is the idea. All right?
But isn't man in italics?
No.
Mine's not.
It is in mine.
It's in mine.
What version do you have?
New King James.
Not the authorized man.
New King James.
What does yours say, Sally?
It's italics. How it says.
Well, we can say a ruthless woman.
there's no man or woman in it.
The same thing. The same idea.
And
right?
This doesn't say ruthless. It says strong.
Okay. Okay.
New King says ruthless.
Okay.
Which to me has
But we're contrasting gracious and kind against someone who's cruel is the point.
Exactly.
Okay? That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Just like respect and not respect or honor and no honor. Okay. 17. The merciful man does himself good, but the cruel man does himself harm. Very general, isn't it? Okay? What you do to others comes back to you. Nice and general statement. Okay? And
absolutely with God. You know, absolute. And generally, sometimes it doesn't work with people, but with God.
Merciful and cruel are two words contrasted there, aren't they? Okay? Merciful and cruel. Okay? And good and harm. 18, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who serves righteousness gets a true reward. The wicked earns deceptive wages. How do you earn deceptive wages?
Cheat.
By being deceptive.
Are you deceiving yourself?
You don't put in a full day's work for the honest.
Yes, something, okay. And the director gets a true reward. True reward, okay. That may have a little farther ramification of just cash, isn't it? Okay? True reward. So let's do 19 next time. Thank you all very much. Thank you all very much.